Welcome to the Mastering Mindfulness Institute, a place where you can stop self-sabotage and create a life of balance. I'm your host, Gina Werfel, registered dietitian and master of human nutrition. Let's dive in.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to the Mastering Mindfulness Institute podcast. I know it has been a minute. I am back here. I had a few people, well, first of all, I've had a lot of big life changes recently, a lot of shifts and transitions that has really propelled me into a deeper experience with my mindfulness practices, what I've been learning, the relationship to myself. And I thought this would be a really good time to circle around and reconnect. I took a little bit of space to go deeper into what I'm learning and my own lessons. And after I left Costa Rica this year, I had some people say, like, will you share a little bit about what is it like living in Costa Rica? Why did you choose Costa Rica? What is it like living there? Can just anybody live there? And so I thought, okay, let me share a little bit about what it was it like to live in Costa Rica. What were some of the lessons that I've learned, some of the healing modalities that I've tried, and how I'm taking that, those lessons that I've learned, and how am I integrating it into my own life today? So maybe if you're thinking about going to Costa Rica, this could give you some insights if you're thinking about traveling there, or even if you're just thinking about how can I take some of those lessons and go deeper into the relationship with myself and learn more and keep growing and expanding and reaching. And that's really what it's all about. So I thought today might be a good way to actually round out my second season of this podcast and then put a little pause and come back really strong with some really great episodes as I relaunch again. So today I'm going to go into what Costa Rica was all about, some of the healing modalities that I did, some things that I learned. And overall, I think for me, this has been, how do I keep finding everything that I'm resistant to and leaning in? And I'm realizing that that is where my medicine is. And for so long, I stayed stuck in this place of like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know why I can't figure things out. I don't know why I do what I do. I don't know why I don't have control over my food cravings. I don't know why I feel anxious. I don't know why I feel there's tension in my body. And I always try to outrun it with positivity and thinking really happy. And maybe I could just outrun this part of me that I really didn't want. And the more that I keep turning into the resistance, which when you're in it, it feels so counterintuitive because everything, like my mind, my body, everything is telling me to move away from the resistance. And Costa Rica was an opportunity for me to, one, explore an amazing place that I loved that I had zero resistance to, but also go deeper into experiences and within myself and come into more truth within myself, feel more resistance, and explore those aspects of me. And the more that I can do that, the faster that I let myself do that and get comfortable with being uncomfortable, the more that I continue to really grow and create so much more trust with myself and my body and my food. And so maybe that might be a core theme of where we go with this today. I don't know. We're going to see where this goes. But I think that that's kind of been a core theme, is finding the points of resistance. This, about a year ago, kind of a sidetrack note, but about a year ago, I really wanted to learn more about making the most out of my exercise. I felt like I could never build muscle. And I hired a trainer. He's amazing. He's in San Diego. His name is Luke Dupron. And he's more of a biomechanics trainer. So he shows you how to do things properly. And he said, because I told him, I have a really hard time building muscle. I'm just the kind of person that I don't build muscle easily. And he's like, okay, well, let's see what you're doing. I'm like, I've been exercising my whole life. I know how to exercise. And he said, Gina, you're strong wrong. I'm like, what does that mean? And he said, you compensate and you use the wrong muscles because you're trying to avoid the resistance that comes with the strength training. He said, everything in you, like when you go to do a push-up, everything in you is going to try to find the path of least resistance. When you do a squat, when you do a push-up, you're going to try to avoid the resistance. We do this sometimes by messing up our form. We do things really fast. We try to get it done and avoid the resistance. He said, I want you to find the resistance and make it more and more and more and lean in. And he challenged me to do like push-ups really slow and to do everything really slow. And I could feel this tension and this resistance build. And I knew that's the path that I need to be going, is inside of the resistance. And so where does it, this shows up everywhere for me in my life, especially around food and with food cravings. Because when I get a food craving, or definitely when I used to get food cravings, I think I'm better now at like regulating this, my nervous system, so it doesn't come on like this as much anymore. But when I could really feel those food cravings before, it would almost feel like I was so magnetic to food, because between me and the food was almost like this density, like this painful, dense resistance. It was like if you, so hard to describe. I don't know if you're following me or not, if you feel this too, but this is what I personally felt. I'm curious if anybody else, if you're listening to this, if you're like, yes, I feel that resistance. But when I would have a food craving and I would try to like stay away from it, there's almost like this magnetic pull that creates a density and a resistance. And I find that resistance showing up. And in the past, I would try to dodge and find the path of least resistance, and it would end up making me strong wrong. I would willpower my way to maybe not eat the food, or go towards pleasure or positivity or encouragement or something that feels good. And I realized how much I was chasing the desire to feel good instead of leaning into the resistance, which is actually where the truth in the medicine really is. So what that might look like was when a craving would come up, instead of trying to make it go away with distraction or another pleasure or positivity or encouragement or motivation or somebody looking up something on Instagram that motivates me, instead of looking for that good feeling, what if I sat inside and went so deep inside of the resistance and the pain of not having it? And I let myself be inside of it instead of running from it and exploring it and its textures and the discomfort and what it feels like. To me, it was almost like, oh, I hate this feeling. But I realized that was me labeling the suffering. And so this was some of the things that I got to experience deeper in Costa Rica. So we can really use this resistance, this idea of resistance, to help us go into what we are afraid of. And number one, I'll start by saying I had a lot of fears of moving to Costa Rica. I didn't know what it was like. I had never been there before. I had one friend there. And at the time, my partner, Raj, he really knew one person there. And he said, you know, I have a friend. She loves living in Costa Rica. We should go there. We should check it out. And so we got rid of our places in San Diego. We completely, we got rid of almost everything that we own. I basically kept my car and I stored my car in San Diego. And my rule was anything I can fit in my car is what I get to keep. So everything else I got rid of, which was a huge like release and letting go and surrender, which came with so much pain and attachments. But gosh, like if you ever even just clean out like your refrigerator and it feels so freeing and you're like, oh, I'm so free. Or you clean out your closet, that purging and that initial purge was like so terrifying, but such a release. And along the way, I was also preparing. I knew when I got to Costa Rica, I had signed up for a weekend with a shaman doing an ayahuasca ceremony. And I had never done that before, which is like a plant medicine there in Costa Rica. And when you prepare for that, they have you do a very, very, very restrictive diet, which, you know, if you've been listening to this podcast, I'm not a huge fan about restrictive diets, because for me in the past, restrictive diets triggered an eating disorder, like obsession and losing control. So this was a really interesting experience to practice honoring myself on a new level of preparing for this letting go of my things, but then also letting go of like the foods that I was really loving, like caffeine and coffee and sweets and processed foods. And it's not necessarily from a health perspective. So sometimes my mind was really fighting it too. It's more of like a spiritual cleanse that you're letting go of these things you're attached to. And what was interesting is when I started to let go and get rid of these things that I loved and I was attached to, I found how deeply I was attached to them. And sometimes it's hard to notice what exactly we are attached to until we give ourselves a rule, I can't have it. Because I had this rule that I couldn't have some of these things for over a month, once I got rid of coffee and I couldn't have it, it was like there was this deep part of me that was so attached to it. And I got to feel and realize like, oh my gosh, coffee makes me feel happy in the morning. It gives me something to look forward to. And there, I got to really feel the resistance in not having it. And it's like, what am I so attached to that I don't want to loosen my grip and just let go and let go of these things that I want and that I love so much? What if I could go into the pain and suffering that I've created around the things that I love? And it gave me an opportunity to really look at those things and really deeply examine, why do I eat what I eat? Why do I drink the things that I drink? Does it create happiness, comfort, safety, pleasure, and really feel that open space of not having it? And it was a really deep exploration. It created a lot of that resistance in that space, but letting go some of those things that I was so attached to, it allowed me to feel the power of being inside of the discomfort of just being, of not being stimulated by food, of not being stimulated by caffeine and pleasures, and just being and the discomfort that comes with that. And as I'm bringing these things back in, I can bring them in not because they happen by default, because life brought them back in, but I can bring them back in with more conviction and choosing, instead of it running my life because I need pleasure and safety and comfort, but I can be okay with cultivating those things in myself. So the preparation for going to Costa Rica and the ceremony and the experience was already a deep dive into so many things I had resistance and fear around. And it took me many, many months. It probably took me about 3 or 4 months to get to the place of being okay with letting go of some of those things that I was attached to and coming in, sinking into that space of almost like emptiness. There's a really good quote that I read by, his name is Muji, and he has this amazing quote. He says, "Go inside the cave of your own heart. When you can bear and be in your own emptiness, you are free." And I started to sit with that. I've been really sitting with that recently. It's going to come back full circle, but I started to look at what are the things that I have maybe used to fill my heart, my happiness, and when I can bear sitting inside of those places that maybe once filled my heart and really feel the contrast of not having it, I become free. And so the preparation to going to Costa Rica and being inside of the ceremony was the beginning on unlocking these parts of me that felt a lot of resistance to giving things up, but knowing that that's my medicine, that's my path to freedom. What's so cool about Costa Rica is there's this little town that I was in called Nosara, and there's little areas inside of Nosara that are so cool. It's like a surf town, really amazing surfing and nature, and you're really like in this thick, lush jungle with monkeys all around. I'd wake up in the morning and there'd be monkeys outside of my door making all these noises, and this really beautiful, lush, dense jungle that you can just feel this like energy and aliveness of the nature and the animals and iguanas just everywhere. And then it's also right on the ocean, and this gorgeous ocean that's just so powerful and amazing. And I got to really sink my body and my nervous system into getting away from all of the traffic and the noise and the consumerism and all the things that we buy and the products. And I felt so much how much we stress here. Like, stress is a way of being in the United States. It's crazy. It's almost like we wear it with a badge of honor of being really busy. And I saw that so much for myself, like how much of my life was so full of go, go, go and busy, busy, busy. And to just come to a place where the rhythm of nature is like just being, and there's so much aliveness in it. And Nosar, Costa Rica is known as one of the blue zones, which is one of the areas of the world where people live the longest. And so they study these areas where people live to over 100 and they're like thriving. And they study these different areas and they find these common themes. And what they find is that people eat fresh food. They eat lots of seafood, lots of stuff from farms. And they also get a lot of natural movement. And it was really cool. In Costa Rica, I didn't have to like put on my calendar, go walking at this time. It was just like, you don't really have cars, so walking is just kind of a way of being. There are cars there, but I didn't have a car when I was there. Sometimes I'd take a little like ATV or something, but it was really like walking is just the way of being. Surfing is how you hang out with friends. Dancing is how you connect and have something to do. So it's all a culture of natural movement and a way of being. And also one of the parts of the Blue Zones is the social aspect. And it feels like in the United States, we're all so separate and we're so far that we really have to fight to create connection. Where in Costa Rica, we're just surrounded by other people and there's community and there's connection. And it's a place that really encourages that, which is really so amazing. And getting to access other people's healing modalities brought me a lot of depth within myself. So I tried many different experiences and healing modalities there in Costa Rica. And there were a few that I want to share that really stood out to me. Whether you want to try this healing modality for yourself or you want to just maybe take some of the healing lessons that I learned from it, none of it is really a recommendation. It's just different things that I tried and experienced. And one of those things is called Qigong, which they have here in the States. They have everywhere. It's not just unique to Costa Rica, but I specifically tried it in Costa Rica. And for me, it was life-changing. It really brought in this theme of resistance for me. It's very much like Tai Chi, where it's extremely slow. And they use these like very slow, slow, slow movements to like move energy. And you're really connecting with like your own energy and your body. And it was like this extremely slow moving meditation. And my instructor, he was pretty tough. His name is Baru. And he would make us stand there for so long and slowly move our bodies down to like just moving one toe at a time, which was like so hard. But it gave me the space in the container to really go deep inside of my body. And I would feel my desire to leave my body and think or go do something or go be productive and to force myself to come into the slowness and realizing that it's in the slowness where there's mastery. It's kind of like the wax on, wax off. Like it's taking these daily practices and putting them into life, these really difficult practices, and doing them again and again and again with repetition. And that's where the mastery comes in. And so Qigong really became my teacher to not go fast, but to really slow down. And I think about that with my food and how that translates with my food. The desire, I feel the resistance almost every time I eat, that I want to eat standing, eat fast, eat unconsciously, just mindlessly, and overeat. And it takes a willingness, right? Mindful eating's not easy. I don't do it because it's easy and natural and effortless. I feel the resistance to it. And something like Qigong or any moment where I can feel the resistance and I can pull my focus and my awareness and feel the resistance and come back into my body and come into that slowness and practice it as though it was something that I am practicing, like a skill that I'm slowly mastering inside of myself, that I'm like, okay, you know, when we go to eat, this is the dojo, right? This is the training grounds. This is my instructor, is like the food is my teacher. And I feel the desire to run, to escape, to eat fast, to go quicker, to be mindless, to check out. And it takes a willingness to feel that desire to find the path of least resistance and find the path of resistance, bring it back in and stay in it. Just like in Qigong, stay inside of the resistance and just be and stand and breathe with my body and all everything that becomes unlocked in my body when I just stand, when I'm just being, when I'm just breathing. It starts to bring up everything that's inside of the body, like thoughts, emotions, any discomfort, physical pain. Everything that is stored inside of our bodies will start to become alive. So there's a deep desire sometimes to fill up our life with productivity and busyness because it's also the path of least resistance. Sometimes we feel like we're a victim to the busyness of life and that it's so hard and it's so painful. But sometimes staying busy is actually the path of least resistance because it keeps us from being with ourselves, which is probably one of the scariest things that we enter into. It's easy to say, I don't have the time, I don't have the space, the bandwidth. The truth is, if we can watch a TV show or if we can flip on Instagram or do other things, we have the time to be with ourselves. It's just scary because it brings up everything. Our body holds memories, it holds traumas, it holds fears, it holds fears of the future, sadness of the past. So when we start being with it, it can start unlocking everything. And where the mastery is coming inside and sitting inside of it and being inside of all those things that we are afraid of. So I had a lot of opportunities to keep doing that, and it kept bringing up more things inside of me, right? As I was looking at my attachments to foods and emotions by slowing down and really coming inside of, really coming inside deeper into my body. But why would we do that, right? Why would we sit with all the things that are in our body? Why not just avoid it? Well, all these things that are stored in our body, like our fears, our traumas, those create beliefs about the world, about ourselves, around what's possible. If you maybe one time when you were younger you started a healthy eating plan and then you sabotaged it and you felt pain and sadness around that and shame and guilt, that small moment of trauma that you experienced might now create this lack of safety of, but what if I do that again? I don't want to feel the fear and the shame and the guilt around doing this to myself again. So I don't think I can do it. And then we stay trapped. And so our fears can really keep us trapped in not knowing who we are. And this was a lesson that I learned in one of my ceremonies. The first ceremony that I did was my first ayahuasca ceremony. And I asked the shaman there, I said, the question that I want to know is, who am I? Which is a pretty big question. And he sat for a minute, and he's in all of his shaman wear, you know, he's in these colorful things, and he's got these bones hanging from a necklace around his neck, and it's like out in the middle of nowhere, you know, in Costa Rica. And he comes from the Amazon, came straight out of the Amazon jungle, and he actually didn't even speak English. We had to have a translator there, and the translator had interpreted what he had said. He sat there for a minute, and he said, when you go into your subconscious, where your fears and traumas live, that's when you'll discover who you really are and the truth. And that became what I experienced that night, was exploring these ideas of, what are these fears or traumas that I've had that created an identity about who I am, or am I safe, or things about the world that is creating this distortion of my reality. And it's only by going into our subconscious mind and looking at things like these fears and these traumas that we can be free from them. But going into them can create a lot of fear. We absolutely need to have a safe space for it. This is not a recommendation for anyone to, one, do ayahuasca, or two, go into your traumas. I think that it requires a really safe space to be really held. And if you do have significant traumas, But when we do go into those things that we are the most afraid of, we become free from them. But you can sure bet there will be a lot of resistance going up to it. And that's where I found a lot of freedom and a lot of truth of who I am, which is like the ultimate path of where I want to go and where I want to grow and what I want to experience in this life. I believe that my soul was put here to experience itself and get to know what is the truth of itself. And we have all these different experiences that sometimes can create distortions, but we also have these other experiences to get to see and learn and experience who we really are. And another experience that I had was Huachuma, which is also known as San Pedro. And it comes from a cactus that the shamans can give. And Huachuma it's so beautiful. It can be very gentle and soft, and it can really bring you into your heart and into truth. And Huachuma is, they say, can translate to chop off your head, which means to get rid of the ego. It lets go of the ego so you can come into truth. And if you break up the words Huachuma, Wa means the great mystery, right? Well, what we're doing here, the great mystery of what we're discovering. Chu is the silence, sitting in the great mother of nothingness. And Ma is feminine energy to create, to have the space for life, for manifestation. So when we bring in Wa, the great mystery, Chu, the silence, or sitting in the great mother of nothingness, and Ma, the feminine energy to create, it's the mother who brings silence in order to discover the great mystery. And I thought this was really beautiful because when we fill our lives with chaos and busyness and go, 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 and stimulation and social media and food and TV and busy, we don't have the silence and the space to discover the deep mystery that is inside of us, the things of the universe, the things that we wonder, the things that we might be craving of knowing ourselves on deeper levels. And so Huachuma was a teacher to let go of the way that our mind tries to keep us busy, the ego, and to come into silence, into our bodies, and to become a student and learn about the great mystery. And it's allowed me to come into this cool fascination with my body, this like, wow, this great mystery. There's these mysteries of the universe and the galaxies and the stars and outer space, but what about the mystery that's even inside of us? And coming to a place of curiosity of this magical body that I have. And he said, when you enter here into this space, which we were in this, like it's called a maloka, which is kind of, it's almost like a big yoga room outside in the jungle. He said, when you enter here, you're entering into a classroom, and let life be your classroom. A master is a master student. And that's how I'm thinking of my life now. What experience every time I want to eat a food, every time I feel an emotion, every time I feel a resistance to something, let that be my navigation and my guide to life being my classroom. And so he says, a master is a master student, and the greatest gift you can give to yourself is the gift of concentration, to be here, to focus, to bring all of your focus and your attention to what it is that you care about, to what you want to master. And we're in a world of distractions and shiny things and do this and do that. And it's so easy to get pulled into every direction and to start seeing some of these things or programs that we're doing as our next hobby. But there's so much power in really becoming the student and using our power of good concentration and really focusing. And whatever we put our focused attention towards is what we will master. And so you have to know that even if whatever you're struggling with, it doesn't matter. Whatever you're struggling with, you will move through it if you bring your focused attention and all that you desire to it. One of the principles that the shaman shared, he says, pray to what you want. That is principle number one. All you need to do is set your intention for what you want and pray to it, and it will be yours. And you plant that seed, and all you do is continue to water it. And I think too much we give up on ourselves of wanting something, but letting go and not believing that it's possible. And all you need to do is feel deeply in your heart with certainty. If you want self-trust, if you want to feel inner freedom, if you want to make peace with your food, with your body, the only thing that you need to do is feel that certainty in your heart. You don't need to know the how. You need to feel the certainty in your heart and pray to what it is that you want, whatever you're praying to. It's not to a God or to a religion. It's a declaration that I am, that I know that my answers are here and I'm open to receiving them. And that is truly the thing that led me through my path, because when I felt the challenges that came with healing my relationship to food and my body, I truly promise you, I did not know how I was going to get out of it. And I felt very hopeless. But when I thought, okay, what do I do? Do I give up? Do I surrender and just say, oh, well, this is my life? No, I knew. I didn't know when and I didn't know how, but I knew deep in my heart, this is not my heart and my soul. This relationship I have with my food and with my body is not through tension and force. And all I needed to know was that I was going to figure it out, but I needed to have that deep knowing in my heart and that certainty and that concentration on continuing to lean into the resistance and say yes, and a willingness to be the student to my experience. And all of those who, even if they do not know the way, when they believe and they say a declaration that I know what I want and I know in my heart and in my soul, it is already coming into creation. That's all that we need to do is plant that knowing, that seed of certainty, and just watering it and watering it and watering it. And all we do is pray to what we want and we give thanks as it comes our way. We have these new awarenesses and ahas. So principle one was know what you want. Be clear. Be so clear. Getting clear might come with resistance. It might come with not wanting to know, because that means that we have awareness of what is not serving us right now, the ways that we talk to our body, the relationship with our food, the maybe the people in our lives, the food that's in our lives that we're not ready to give up, that we're attached to. Sometimes the awareness can come with resistance, but when you're so clear and what your heart really desires, and you set that intention and you bring all of your focus with certainty that I will figure this out, the answers will begin to arrive to you. The right people will come to you. The right information will start coming to you. And all of your angels or your guides or whatever's out there will begin to support you. But it becomes with knowing and praying to what we want. And that doesn't mean I hope. It means I know deep in my heart. And the second principle was, we come here to learn and to teach. That's what we're here for. Our experience here while we're alive is to learn and to teach others. And everyone has this, these teachings, and everyone here is both our student and both our teacher. All of my students are both my teacher, and all of my teachers are also my students too. So we're here to experience life, to share these gifts with each other, to learn. It's not about passing or failing a thing or a program. We're here to share gifts. And that's what our souls are here to do, is to learn and to grow and to see itself and through each other. Principle three is that we come here to heal, and that everyone has medicine, and that everything and every experience has medicine for us. And so sometimes we don't understand why our things are happening the way that they are. We don't understand why we're going through an experience. But when we know that everything has medicine for us, we can start to look at our experience in a really different way. When we're having those moments of self-sabotage and we want to pretend like it didn't happen, we can actually go into that experience and say, what is the medicine that's here for me to learn here? What is it showing about what my heart is really needing? And where I'm not getting fulfillment or pleasure, or where I'm needing support with my stress, letting it be our medicine, everything. And principle four is we come here to pass these teachings to the future. We get to pass these teachings on to future generations so they can learn and grow as well. And principle five, we come here to celebrate being alive. And sometimes we can get so caught up in figuring things out and growing and learning, and we can't forget to stop and celebrate being alive. And I've been looking for those moments of where can I pause and just feel joy for being. It's okay if I don't fill up my schedule with something productive every minute and every second. Can I go outside and feel the sun and maybe dance and do things that inspire me? And that's what we're here for, is to celebrate being alive. And so those were some of the beautiful lessons that I took with me from Wachuma, which is going into this great mystery of learning and learning from other people and learning from experiences. And what I brought back with me is, as I'm sitting in meditation, can I allow my body to be this great mystery? Can I allow all of my experiences that are coming here that are sometimes really uncomfortable to be my greatest teacher, to help me explore this great mystery on this adventure? So those have been some of the lessons that I've been really sitting with and bringing into my life. And the last really big experience that I had that I wanted to share, because it has been really powerful, is how I really learned self-love this last year. I went into another ayahuasca ceremony and I asked myself the question, what does self-love mean? What does it feel like? What does that look like? Does it mean I accept my body? Does it mean I accept myself? Does it mean I take care of myself? Like, what does self-love mean? And as I was in the ceremony experience, my body felt horrible. I mean, I was, well, gosh, things were just coming out of everywhere, I tell you. Lots of purging and throwing up and all sorts of things were going on. And my body just felt horrible. And we start around 9 p.m. and it doesn't end until about 8 a.m. So we're in it for about 10 to 11 hours. And I was probably 2 hours in and feeling just horrible. And I was like, man, I'm in this just horrible pity party. This is so hard. This is so hard. And one of the ladies, I said, this is so hard. I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm only 2 hours in. And she said, no. Stop saying that your experience is hard. The moment that you say that it's hard, it becomes hard. You're just uncomfortable. And I realized the power of my thoughts and my mind and how every experience I was labeling is, I'm so tired. This is so hard. I can't do this. And she said, no. Look at the power of your thoughts and how they're creating your experience. And I went back to my space and I laid down on this little yoga mat and curled up in a blanket. And in that moment, I realized I was going to be in this experience for another 10 hours. I had probably another at least 8 or 9 hours to go of this experience. It was probably only 11 p.m. and I had to go all the way until sunrise. And I laid there and I was like, well, I can't get out of this. This isn't going to get better anytime soon. I feel horrible emotionally. I feel horrible physically. Everything inside of me wants to go towards the path of least resistance. And I wanted to go to sleep. I wanted to curl up and be done with it. And at every few hours, they offer more of the ayahuasca to drink. And it tastes horrible, made me feel horrible. And every part of me wanted to be like, no, run back towards safety and pleasure. But I knew that there was a medicine in it, in leaning into this resistance. And I had this deeper knowing that was like, you can move towards pleasure, but there's something you need to learn by going deeper into everything that you're resisting and everything you're uncomfortable with. And so I did. I went back and I drank more of it somehow, barely kept it down, and I started feeling worse and worse and worse. And as I curled up into on my flat, hard yoga mat and in this blanket, I felt so much deep gratitude and safety from being wrapped up in the blanket that I brought. And it was like this little tiny thin blanket, and it was like cold outside, but I had so much deep gratitude for like, oh my gosh, this feels like safety around me. This is like the only bit of safety I can connect to while I'm struggling. And self-love is not loving the way that I look or I am or my personality. Self-love is like that moment of when I am really going through it and it's so hard and there's nothing I can do to change my situation or my experience, and it's a full surrender into like, this is so hard and I've got you and I'm here for you. And I know there's nothing we can do about this, but like, I'm just going to hold you, you know, I'm just going to hold you through it, through this experience. And that was it. And I was like, wow, this really feels terrible. This sucks. But I'm able to wrap myself in this blanket and feel so much deep gratitude and safety from this blanket, this feeling it's giving me as I'm moving through this difficult process. And as one of the shamans had said to me, he said, it is only in your discomfort that you're going to find your medicine and the sweetness in it. And it was in all of that discomfort that I learned how to deeply support myself and love myself through leaning into all the things that I'm afraid of, that I don't want to look at, the feelings that I don't want to feel. And that became my power, was in the surrender and in the weakness and in the letting go. And not checking out and running towards pleasure and avoidance, but to really just soften and sink in. And that's where my medicine is. And it actually, for me, it brought up so much truth and feelings around things with my relationship that weren't working out in my relationship. And I think it brought up both a lot of truth for me and my partner, Raj. And we, as after our ceremonies, we came back and we both decided to separate because we both weren't getting everything that we were both needing. And it brought so much truth when we were able to feel and look at what we didn't want to look at. The desire was to just keep going into to pleasure of kind of codependence of like, I just want to be in a relationship because it feels good and it feels safe and it's giving me everything I need. But the resistance and the fear is, what am I afraid of about being alone, independent, not receiving someone else's love and being fully responsible for giving that to myself? And we both decided that loving ourselves was leaning into the resistance and the things that we were afraid of, because there were things that we weren't fully receiving that we wanted from our relationship. And so it was the deepest level of love. And so as I left Costa Rica and as we both separated, I got to take all of these lessons of what I experienced and integrate it into a deeper mindfulness practice in my own life, which came with looking at what are my triggers and my fears and the resistance that I have around being alone, going from being in a relationship for a few years and receiving love and affection and joy and adventure to not, and being responsible for that. And it initially, it brought up a lot of emotions and a lot of things that I knew that going back into safety and comfort of a relationship wouldn't be the in my best interest. It wouldn't serve me. And I needed to lean in again into the resistance. And I feel like that ayahuasca ceremony actually prepared me for a real life experience, which was, I have all these emotions. I'm sad. I'm going through this experience. Can I, instead of throwing myself into productivity and work and pleasures and all these things and these avoidances and food, but to be in myself and go into that discomfort and the sadness and what it brings up and those feelings and the pain and say, hey, I got you. I myself am here for you. It's okay. Like, it's not about feeling good all the time. It's letting yourself feel these things. And I remember many years ago going through a breakup in a relationship, I didn't know how to do that for myself. So food became very comforting. And when I was lonely or when I didn't know how to deal with these feelings and the chaos that it brings up, and food became that comfort and that safety. And sometimes it is. And there's no judgment if it is that for you. It's okay. And there's an opportunity to let life be our meditation and our teacher, and how my own bed became my container of safety to say, hey, you're feeling a lot right now. Can I just hold myself through this experience and let myself feel everything and find aliveness in that pain instead of numbing out with pleasures to be more comfortable? So all of these experiences brought greater awareness, more aliveness, more feeling. But I realize that the more that I feel that resistance and I lean into it, the more I do feel, the more I feel alive in my sadness, in my fears, in the loneliness, in whatever the feeling is, without judging it and just being in it. And it kind of brings me back to that quote that I shared in the beginning from Muji, who says, go inside the cave of your own heart. When you can bear and be in your own emptiness, you are free. And so I've challenged myself to move away from all the stimulation as much as I can, and to come in when I feel like I need something and I want to avoid the resistance that's here, to sit and breathe with it, just like I learned in Qigong, like using my breath to recenter and come back into my body, using these concepts from Wachuma to know and focus and bring all of my attention to study myself and my experience, and to become the student of life and myself and my body, and to pray to what I want and what I desire, and to allow ayahuasca to now be my teacher of self-love, to say that in growth, it will bring emotions and chaos and discomfort and sadness sometimes, and fear and joy and excitement. And the only way through that is to hold that space of self-love and say, I'm here for you. I got you through all of it. It's okay if we need to stay in bed the next few hours and our plan was to be productive. Or it's okay if we were going to go do that thing with our friends and we decide to cancel because we just need to be with ourselves and hold ourselves through whatever it is that we're feeling. And that's how we come into this solid, steady relationship with ourselves of, I got you. Instead of checking out and running and going towards pleasure, I'm going to feel the resistance and breathe in and lean into it and be with what is here right now, because it has something to teach me. It has something to teach me about my life, about what's not working. And if we're chasing feeling good all the time, we can't feel the pain and the resistance that comes with things that need to fall apart and transform into something different. When I was there in Costa Rica, I went to a talk with Dr. Dan Engel, who's an amazing psychotherapist. And he was giving a quote from Winston Churchill, who originally said, never waste a good crisis. And that was Winston Churchill who first said that. And Dan Engel followed it with, never waste a good crisis. A crisis always precedes initiation and transformation. And that a crisis is, it's an invitation to live differently. So when we avoid crisis and bad feelings, we're dodging the things that are not working for us. But when we go into the depths, that cave of our own heart that Muji says, and we feel the pain of what we're going through and we let ourselves go into crisis, that's where on the other side we can begin an initiation into a whole new transformation and the invitation to truly live differently and not being afraid to letting our lives fall apart, feeling the resistance and letting go. So it's been a really beautiful, really beautiful journey of having this fun adventure. Highly recommend Costa Rica if you are looking for an exploration into the jungle, to the ocean, to more connection to yourself, but also feeling the opportunities, whether you're in Costa Rica or whether you're here, just even in your own kitchen, and you feel the density of resistance, or maybe you're doing your workout and you want to compensate and you want to just get out of it really fast, and you choose to slow down and use your breath and recenter, and you feel the tension, like when you're doing a push-up or you're standing there in a craving and you let yourself sit and be fully alive in the resistance that's there, and letting that be your teacher and bringing all of your devotion, all of your full attention and presence to the moment and what's here to learn. So that was, I think, some of the really big lessons of what came through for me from Costa Rica, and how it's, for me, it's pushing me into the next edge of awareness and using that awareness for my own personal growth, because this mindfulness journey just keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and it becomes kind of fun. I start looking at everything as being my teacher, and I have all sorts of mentors and friends and people all around me that I'm constantly like going deeper and exploring and letting everything being a mirror for me. So it's really fun doing that also in Mastering Mindfulness with all of my students. It's just being a teacher to ourselves and to life and experience and learning and growing. And I think that's what we're really here for. So I hope you enjoyed today's podcast, a little bit more about Costa Rica, some of the things that I've learned and what's been happening around in my world. So I believe this is going to wrap up season 2, and I'm going to get some really amazing, deeper conversations to launch in season 3. So if this resonated with you, I would love a message. I'd love a review. I'd love for you to reach out on Instagram. Tell me what landed and resonated. It would just mean the world. I love to know that other people are out there listening, and maybe just what resonates, what ahas you had, or something that relates to you and your experience. It would mean so much. So take care, and I will see you in the next episode.